Well, for some, the first sign of autumn isn't an increasing nip in the air and the appearance of conkers on the ground, but rather the first sighting of the September issue of Vogue hitting newsstands around the globe. The September issue of the glossy monthlies is traditionally the climax of the magazine publishing year and has become a cultural phenomenon in recent years. This September, Meghan Markle teamed up with editor Edward Innenfull to put together British Vogue September edition with the theme Forces for Change. Among the 15 images of activists on the cover is Irish woman Sinead Burke. And to do these, but do these enormous fashion magazines add to the cultural conversation? And is this particular case of this edition, does the content live up to the hype? I'm joined in studio now by the designer and couturier Peter O'Brien and the fashion journalist Barbara Power. Peter, can I start with you? Why did the September issue become such an iconic fashion event of the year?
Barbara and I were talking about this earlier. I think it's only really seeped into public kind of consciousness and parlance since the film, the September issue. It was always an important issue because what happened was, especially for American Vogue, they reported on the March shows they would have seen in Milan, in London, in Paris, and in New York. So it was, you know, the new fashion news of the season. And then when everything became, I suppose, corporatized, and so vast sums of money were involved, it was really about getting as much advertising as possible. So it was this big, fat, thick doorstop of a magazine, which was ostensibly, you know, the fashion forward issue, but it was also for the publishers really about advertising.
So the key thing was that the collections would get their first viewing in the September issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what's radically changed, and we talked about this outside as well, is that nowadays every fashion house live stream their shows the day of the show. So if you want to see Valentino or you want to see Dior, you just go on their website. So in a sense, that sense of anticipation, that sense of excitement, isn't there the way it was because people already know what the clothes look like.
So this issue then that we're talking about, what they're doing now is, are they looking for just some other ways to sell the magazine? So therefore a partnership between Meghan Markle and Edward Innenfull is one way.
It is. I mean, times are very tough for glossy magazines, and in a lot of cases they've moved their business model and they're having lots of events that you pay in. I'd say Edward couldn't believe it when he got this email signed M, and it turned out to be Meghan Markle. And having met her, she then suggested maybe she would co-edit. I'd say he thought all his Christmases had come together. And I'm sorry for her. I would like to support her as much as I can because I think she's having a really bad time in the press. But I think some of the things were misjudged. I don't think it should have been just women on the cover. If they were forces for change.
Yes, just describe the cover, Barbara.
Yeah.
Maybe microphone a little bit over.
It's a collage, and she has featured 14 people, 15 in fact, four across, four down. There's our lovely Sinead from County Meath down left-hand corner beside Jane Fonda. But on the second row, they've left a silver panel, which is supposed to be a mirror. So the idea is that the reader is looking at forces for change and they see a mirror, and could they be a force of change for change too? And the idea, the principle was great, but I just don't think he was probably so awestruck at having her co-edit with him, guest edit, that he didn't really manage her. I think I'm kind of slightly underwhelmed by some of the content. And even in fact, you know, when I went to read it, and I'm not blind, I do wear glasses, but oh my goodness, the size of the script and the font where Sinead Burke is putting forward her views, it's quite difficult to make out. I would have preferred it in the regular font to tell a story. But, you know, she was styled by the wonderful Grace Coddington. How fabulous is that? And, you know, is it one of the September issues I'm going to keep at home? Most probably. I have quite a collection. But I'm truly sorry that she's got such bad press. She's been accused of all sorts of things for she's been
yes,
criticized.
She can't win because she
can't win.
She was offered to be put on the cover, isn't that right?
Yeah, and she declined. And he said afterwards she didn't want to be so boastful, and then that was attributed to her. And then the British press kicked off, you know, was that a go at Kate Middleton? Because, of course, she was on the cover of the 100th edition of Vogue. And should she have put the Queen on? You know, put the mother-in-law or the grandmother-in-law on? I don't think she was going to do that. She's come in for a lot of criticism. But, you know, the basic premise was good.
Peter, let's talk about the other person in the partnership, Edward Innenfull. He is the editor of British Vogue, which is a very different animal to American Vogue.
Well, there's a kind of hierarchy of Vogues. The most beautiful one, excuse me, is Italian Vogue, or certainly was until Franco Sozzani died. American Vogue has always been shiny and glossy and a huge kind of commercial monster. English Vogue has for years been considered a little bit dull. French Vogue is like French people, kind of constipated and arrogant, and we won't even talk about fashion, even though we're a fashion magazine, and it gets very kind of intellectual at times. British Vogue had been, like a lot of the Vogues, like this kind of ivory tower for posh girls called Philippa, you know. And people, you know, sexual politics have changed, the world has changed, inclusivity abounds. I'm not sceptical. I think the intentions were fantastic. I just wonder how much of it is lip service, you know. What does it actually change? I think things will have changed when people like Sinead are on the cover of Vogue and it's not remarked and it's not noticed as something extraordinary, that it's a normal thing to happen. Edward was determined, by hook or by crook, he would burn every bridge behind him. So all those nice Lucindas and Pollys have all been sent to the home counties. And
so he cleared out the staff that were there
he
before.
He kind of did. And it probably needed to happen. And, you know, fashion is a thing that constantly changes. It's all, as you know, Barbara and I talked about this upstairs as well, it's all smoke and mirrors, you know. The clothes don't really make any money. Clothes are now, they're marketing tools to sell entry-level products like handbags, like perfume, like T-shirts. And if you see, you know, some very famous lady on a red carpet wearing a dress, not only has she not paid for the dress, she's been paid to wear it. So it's all ludicrous.
I was reading Meghan Markle's editorial, I suppose, or her letter, and she was talking about trying to understand the lingo people use in magazines. And we'll just play a clip from the what you were talking about, the September issue. And that's when the cameras went behind the scenes in 2007 to Anna Wintour's Vogue. And here she's meeting her accessories editor, Elsa Santisi.
So it's all pinks.
Mm-hmm.
And Virginia, we really feel that this is the most important message to put in the September issue.
I thought it was pretty.
It looks very springy.
Oh, there's a fur.
Maybe you want to develop it a little bit more. I'd also like to see what you're thinking about with the clothes so I can get more of a handle on it.
I was thinking maybe it's kind of body conscious, the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point I thought maybe she could be sort of bionic. It looks good on the rack.
I feel it's quite one-dimensional. But also, the girls always look the same, Elisa. If you look at your pictures, the way they're dressed, it's always the same. And somehow the picture's always the same. It's usually the same kind of minimal approach. I mean, it's what you are, I know, and the girl always tends to have straight hair. If you look at it, it gets just like, it's always the same. So it would be great if we could break out. Thanks.
I thought the Devil Wears Prada was exaggerated. That's Miss Wintour in full, again, talking to Elisa Santisi.
The utter humorlessness of it all. I mean, people who laugh at fashion are absolutely right. Coco Chanel once said that the people who laugh in the aisles of a supermarket and point are right. And she's kind of right, you know. It's nonsense.
Have you seen Anna Wintour in action, Barbara?
I have. At London Fashion Week, she was sitting on the fro at Simone Rocha's show. And when she arrives, everyone just parts and she walks through, she sits, she crosses, she doesn't speak to anyone. and no one approaches her. And I know Irish designer Dawn O'Neill was at a party in her house recently because she hosted a party for Samantha Barry when she became editor of Glamour. And like, she was very welcoming, but very aloof. And let's just say she's not a lady you would attempt to air kiss, which is, you know, she's she'll be polite, but she'll keep you at arm's length. Now, she was really nice to Richard Quinn, the Irish designer, when he won the Queen's Award. And, you know, he was saying to me that his dad from County Meath went over and he probably said, how's it going there, Anna? And she would, like, she's charming when she wants to be. But, you know, she had a point. Pink is probably more spring than autumn. She's very direct, and in her business, you need to be.
Peter, would she have brought out a magazine like the British Vogue that we're discussing?
Possibly. It might be shinier, glossier, a little bit more polished. I think Anna really could run Coca-Cola or be vice president of the America. I'm not sure that she even likes clothes very much, but she's an utterly brilliant businesswoman. And she runs, you know, she runs a very successful magazine.
And in relation to creativity then, where does that come in? Does that come in the design of the clothes? Or when it comes to magazines, is it the stylist and the layout of photo
shoots? Well, when you have a combination of, you know, a brilliant stylist like Saint Grace.
This is Grace Cunningham,
yeah,
yes.
A wonderful photographer.
You could see that in the movie, the relationship. Yeah. Grace underpinned her, you know.
A wonderful photographer like Tim Walker, the most beautiful clothes in the world, on the most ravishing women in the world. It's sometimes magic really does happen. Italian Vogue was famous for breathtakingly beautiful shoots, very often shot by Stephen Meisel. Sometimes wonderful things happen in magazines.
And has the fact that a magazine is too late to come out after the collections, has that changed the way fashion shows are presented? Because they seem more dramatic now than they were in the past.
They
because
do.
You can see them straight away on
YouTube.
Barbara
knows more about this than
and
I do.
And then there's the whole social
them.
Media.
Instagram.
And a lot of it, you know, for years has just been pure theatre. As Peter said, the clothes aren't actually made. They're just there for the event. Going back to Anna, you know, she took a lot of stick when she featured Kanye West on the cover. And, you know, so many years later, she's been proven right, you know, that he will sell magazines for her. And that's what she wants to do. It's a very tough landscape out there at the moment. And, you know, Edward really wants to make his British Vogue successful, but she has years of experience and advertisers clamoring to do business with her. So she has the upper hand, and he's going to have to work very hard. I can't imagine what he's going to produce next month, but I am looking forward to it, and it will be around the time of London Fashion Week, and he'll probably give a good shout out to lots of Irish designers.
Activism has often paired with fashion in the past. Are they good bedfellows? Do they work together well?
They can be, I think. I think they can be, and I think sometimes it doesn't sometimes feel like kind of tokenism, but I think it can work.
Well, someone like Vivienne Westwood, I was at one of her shows, and she marches down and you feel like you're in the middle of French
absolutely.
Revolution, and she's waving her flag, and she means it. For a lot of brands, they have slogans, but I don't know.
Yes, I think it's interesting what Vivienne Westwood says in the magazine. She says she designs clothes, but really it's her political message she wants to get out now, and she uses her fashion shows to do that.
Yes, that's true, and I think we need more people like her with an agenda, and I think Stella McCartney has an agenda to try and get us all to switch over, but you know, she's very expensive. You know, this sustainability discussion, it's very tough. A lot of people buying on the high street, how can those clothes possibly be sustainable? You know, what we need to do is buy less and buy better.
Yes, and there's no variation in price in any of the clothes in Vogue.
What they, do you mean?
A variation maybe between 3,000 and 550.
Well, very expensive clothes. People never believe this because we've had 20 years of high street inexpensive clothing. So people have gotten used to a beaded sequin dress from, I won't name any names, for €50. Well, the chances are that whoever made that dress didn't earn an awful lot of money making it. But if you are working in a Paris atelier and you have a premier who's on 200, 300 grand a year, It's very, very silk. Now, double face satin can cost €300 a meter. It's not cheap, you know. And it's only for very few people. And as I said, you know, those ladies who used, there used to be 400 of them in the world who would come to Paris and have fittings. And when I arrived in Paris first, they'd stopped doing that. And they used to have little shows in the salons. But now, then they started sending videos, you know, to ladies in America, and they would see the videos. But women don't want to do that nowadays. They don't have time. They're too busy. And as I said, those really extravagant dresses are marketing tools. And the people who do buy them tend to be Russian, South American, Chinese, Middle Eastern, certainly not European people.
Well, the September issue of Vogue is out now, and if people don't want it for the activism, they can see the fabulous glossy ads. Peter O'Brien and Barbara Power, thank you.